John, you furrowed your brow.
Now we're going. Yeah, our 3-2. I went on the 3-2-1 click. I was clicking apparently back onto the window, not actually clicking the button yet. So I'll have to fix that in post.
Well, that's what I did the first time, and that's why I did the whole thing. But you're the editor, so you can deal with it.
We'll just do it live.
We'll do it live. John,
yes,
how do you find yourself?
I'm good.
It's beef season.
It's beef season. Oh, yeah. You know, I kept on thinking all weekend. I had all this dread about it. I was like, Daniel's going to want to spend the whole hour discussing beef season, and I just don't know if I have enough hot takes for it. But it's been very fun.
It's been a blast.
I remember somebody sent a tweet early on in it. There was like a rumor after Kendrick's first diss track that said, did you know that Kendrick has like an album's worth of diss tracks ready and he's just going to trickle them out? And I was like, I hope that that's true, but it's just so improbable.
Yeah.
It turned out that it was 100% true.
Dude. Oh my God, dude. It's been incredible.
It's also hard to discuss because it's like, goodness gracious, these allegations are like, this is not like, hey man, this guy's stuff is corny. It's like, hey, there's some like pretty awful, like the worst kind of criminal behavior going on. Like, okay.
Yeah. No, it is rough. It's definitely not safe for work, and here we are at work. We find ourselves here at work. But I will just say, we were asked to discuss it on Twitter. So I will just say for the Twitter people, holy shit, I'm having such a great time. And I just can't think of a better moment in hip hop in the last 20 years. So
it's the best. Well, and it's really nice to, you know, if you're a sane person, you get to just have, it's like a good and evil situation. Like, it's not nuanced at all. It's like,
right. Kendrick is good, Drake is evil. Right. We're all on Team Kendrick. Yeah, exactly.
It's very,
and it is kind of cool that like all of the internet is basically unified in that position, and that like we all kind of know that the Drake people are stupid, and they even kind of know that they're stupid. It's great.
It's so funny. Every single time that I see a Drake stan being like, oh, it's over, like Kendrick is washed, I have to like click into the profile and like look at who this guy is. It is always just like the corniest dude.
Yeah.
Who's like, and like two-thirds of his content is like Drake stan stuff. Like, those are the only people. Lil Wayne's not commenting. Like, no one's
Lil
coming
Wayne
to this
has
guy's
not
defense
at all. That's hilarious.
No one's coming to no sane person is coming to this guy's defense, and that tells you a lot.
Yeah, it tells you everything you need to know. Dude, not since Ja Rule has there been a pile-on of this magnitude. You know what upsets me, though, is that 50 hasn't been, like, making TikToks this whole time. Because sometimes 50 will just, like, get on one and just make a bunch of TikToks. Yeah. And I feel like the only thing that could have made this week better is if 50 was just making TikToks, documenting the whole thing along the way, just responding to everything. Yeah. Sticking his nose and everything.
Yeah. I did laugh at the very end of the last Drake one, which was like a sad, weird, somebody
very
Jesus Nice tweeted that it was he made a song out of a community note. It's like it's ridiculous. And it's also, but I laughed at the end of it, because when he was like at the end of that track, when he just starts talking and he's like, that last song is actually pretty cool. I would be dancing to it if it wasn't a diss track of me. And at the very end, he's like, well, I guess your fans can thank me because you're finally just like putting music out. And I was like, it's actually kind of true. Like,
yeah, great point.
I think Kendrick has been so like in his head trying to make these like perfect masterpieces. And like, there is,
he just needed someone to destroy.
Someone crawled under his skin, and now he's like, oh, I just have to make a song every day and just release it immediately. I'm like, good, go.
Yeah, there are a lot of rappers who are like I feel like Eminem, I'm not gonna listen to a new Eminem album, but if Eminem's beefing with somebody, I'm going to watch every second of it, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's also just the like embarrassment of riches they have in terms of producers, that like,
dude,
like Mustard. Working with like Mustard, and then last night, like late last night, Alchemist tweeted a picture. He's like, Kendrick's in the studio, get ready. Oh. And it was like, what are they doing right now? You know,
dude. And you saw Metro made like a diss beat.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. It's so
very
good.
Fun. Very fun.
It's so good. Anyway, hip hop, the world of hip hop is alive and well. And if you are one of these people, so there've been two major Twitter beefs going on. It's been Drake and Kendrick versus Let and Const, the JavaScript variable declarations.
Okay.
If you are a Let and Const person instead of a Drake and Kendrick person, you need to just invest, go listen to the four great Kendrick albums, maybe listen to the J. Cole albums to get the full context, and I guess listen to, like, you know, Marvin's Room or whatever.
All of the J. Cole tweets, people was like, this guy must be like, he caught the last helicopter out of Nam. So it's like, he must feel like one of those people who got their flights canceled on 9/11. Oh gosh, it's been fun to be on Twitter. Very fun
It's been a great week to be on Twitter.
This is good for the culture.
It is. It's good for everybody.
Yeah.
Except maybe Drake. He's sort of the sacrificial lamb here.
I'm completely fine with it.
The lamb that was slain.
Stuff about him being a colonist in Atlanta. Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable.
So funny.
Unbelievable.
Funny. Quavo said you could be from Northside.
This goes back to, we've talked about it on this podcast, we only like funny things, and people forgot about how funny Kendrick is.
Kendrick can be very, very funny.
And Drake is funny, too.
And, like, what's his name? Anthony Fantano, the internet's busiest music nerd. He said a thing which is, like, the great thing about these Kendrick tapes is, like, he just has these, like, weird, like, vocal stims that he does that are, like, in all of his music that are just, like, even sometimes, like, more memorable than the beat, or sorry, than the line, but, like, he makes you remember the line because he, like, says it weird.
Yeah.
And he's been doing that.
He's a performer. He's a weird performer.
He noted the line where he says, push a T. You know, and then the A minor. And, like, I've just been, like, walking around my house for, like, the whole weekend, just, like, bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
They not like us. Anyway, it's great stuff. Good. Incredible. Moving right along.
Yeah, moving right along.
How are we doing?
So it's funny. I've been doing a thing I just told you about on Monday morning where I go back through, like, stuff, like, mostly our retros, just to write down, like, what are the topics. I mean, the retros are this, like, incredibly fertile ground for us to have topics for this podcast, which is great because it's, like, the real... like, what are we changing this week to make this a better business? So,
yeah, we pay a couple of guys to get on a call for half an hour at the end of the week to make topics for our podcast.
Yeah. Which in turn produces clients for us to pay those two guys.
Yeah, exactly. It's
they call it a virtuous cycle. That's a flywheel for you.
Yeah.
So I have topics. And frequently, but it was interesting because I probably have like two podcasts worth of topics here. And
one podcast.
Yeah. Do you want me to list them out for you and you choose your own adventure?
Dude, I would love a menu of topics.
Okay. The first topic, which did not come out of a retro, but has been sitting in the agenda for a while, is the conversation about, like, the money in the business is, like, our money. And how we make decisions about that as if we're,
this
like,
is,
in a marriage, right?
This is a great conversation. We should probably do this one.
That's an interesting one. Another one is, I spent a week on Sales Navigator, and I think I can share what I learned, and I think we need more specific hypotheses of companies to look for. So that's an interesting one. That could also be a mentor call. Like, that would be an interesting one to bring, like, Luke in, where, like, Luke just, like, knows a lot of stuff about, like, normal American businesses, and, like, he could help us talk about hypotheses. He's very smart and consultative that way. So that could be, we could talk about that, or we could make that a mentor call. We want to make a deck. So basically, we talked about what
offerings
did go well and what didn't go well in onboarding a new client, where everything is totally fine and happy now. But we like one thing we learned was we think we want to make a deck about like, here's why we work the way we work. Here's how we're gonna like, you kind of coaching the client through like how we do stuff, which I think includes this whole thing of like explaining to them like what our special sauce is, which is like the product stuff. And that's really important. There's another one, which is the structure of our client engagements, where you and I had that whole realization about like the tech lead versus the client relationship person versus.
Yes, this was so our personal retros, which are just like when we randomly call each other on Friday at the end of the week. And you're like walking to the train always somehow. Yeah.
The second work is over, I walk to the train.
Yeah, exactly.
Even like, I gotta get out of here. Yeah.
Very New York of you. So those calls are great. And one of the things we realize on those calls is there's like three jobs. Well, this is the whole topic.
But it sounds like that's the one you want to talk about. Do you want to get into that one?
Yeah, let's get into that. And then let's talk about our money.
Okay.
And our money and our marriage. Maybach music. So there's like three jobs to be done. So like we've had this problem of like we've been bandying about the word project lead. And it actually,
well, can we back up and say actually,
yes,
the problem we're solving here is the thing that you have been aching about, which we talked about last week, and it's like a thing that's killing you, which is that you were the bottleneck for everything. Which is not 100% true, but it is largely true. And it is hampering our like ability to grow. It's hampering our ability to like allocate like hours most efficiently. Like it's a problem. And that is at a fundamental level the problem that we wanted to solve, which led us into this conversation about like roles on projects.
Yes. And so, so we basically were like, I want to, like, it feels like I need to be on every project to do work. I need to be on every project to, like, interact with the client. I need to be on every project to review code.
Solve hard problems. You're not going to just, like, show up for an hour meeting just to like show face. You need to kind of like do a day where you like
have context with people,
are solving problems, and then you show up to the meeting to say like, hey, I am in this, invested in this, pairing on this, solving problems on this, and here I like that's a day of work. And so that means that like if you are actually only going to be doing 4 client days per week, that means that we can only have 4 clients.
Exactly. Which is not good because we need to be able to have more than 4 clients. Right. So anyway, the solution that we came to was like, well, there's actually being a project lead, quote unquote, is not one job. It's like several jobs, right? And so there's basically like 3 jobs to be done here that we isolated. So number one is managing the client relationship, right? So understanding the client's needs, understanding whether the client feels like their needs are being met, understanding if we communicating back to the client like the status of everything and like making sure that they're happy with what they're getting, and basically like making executive decisions about like what needs to change if something needs to change, right? Then there's managing the technical direction of the project, right? And that means reviewing all the code before it hits prod, making directional decisions on big technical implementations, pairing if people are stuck, you know, being the tech lead on a project. That's the second role. And then the third role is just like making sure that the quality of work that we're putting out is good enough, right? And so,
which I think honestly, it's like it might be oversimplifying it or slightly different, but it is kind of the product manager on the job, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because it's so also it's helping like, to define what's being built and like what we're doing and not doing and stuff.
And like when, right?
Yeah.
And like,
and I would say, like, one of the jobs of that person is, for example, like to have an eye on, hey, when we do a client review every week with the client, we need to have something worth showing. Mm-hmm. Like, and so like if the tech lead is just kind of like in their own world going like, well, we need to do this huge refactor and it's going to take 10 days. Like the PM is responsible for being like, yes, and like, are we really going to show up to two consecutive client reviews with like nothing like visual and exciting to show?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're responsible for like those kinds of questions too, I think.
Yep. So I think those are basically the three roles, right? So like one is like manage the client relationship, which I would say is kind of like outside of the actual work, right? Is like, mm-hmm. Hey, oh, it's time to renew a contract. Let's negotiate the next contract or whatever. Hey, we
and that doesn't mean it's a different person. It's just that it's a different hat, right?
It's a different hat, right?
Yeah.
And so we've been talking in terms of like, hey, the project lead needs to wear these three hats, right? And basically, like, I'm kind of the only guy here who can wear all three hats, right?
That's correct.
But what we realized was between you and Josh, you guys can wear all three hats.
Yes.
Right?
So with I would also add to this, the other really funny thing is right as we finished this conversation, I got to Lindsay, who she works at a big fancy ad agency as an art director. And she was like, oh, you mean like an account manager and a project manager? I was like, yeah, okay, you already have a structure for this and have names for these people.
cool.
The relationship person, I think in a normal context, is just called an account manager. Mm-hmm. It's like a sales customer success person. So it's like, I think we could borrow that term. It's like we have an account manager, a technical lead, and whatever is the other like project manager, product manager person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the account management needs to be me or you, right?
Yeah, absolutely, 100% of the time.
And then the technical lead can only be you or Josh.
At this point,
I cannot be a technical lead. Jacob cannot be a technical lead right now.
Yes.
And then for the like product manager, I think for right now, it's me or you.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that for me and you to go be on a project, this is the real punchline. For me and you to go be on a project together is like pretty redundant.
Yes.
You can go do something alone. And there's a thing right now that you've been doing alone, which is like pretty chill because you can do all three. And like, if I'm going to go do something kind of on my own, I need to have another tech lead with me. And that's going to be Josh.
Mm-hmm.
So like that makes things a little bit more clear where like the only way for us to go do something without you is like me plus a tech lead.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to go double up on something is like probably not the most efficient use of us. And I guess that's kind of it. So we were kind of talking about like maybe a lot of our clients should be like, it's either like you and Jacob or it's me and Josh, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Right. Yeah. So like there's been Jacob and Josh clients before.
Yes.
And those have been technically great. In one of those, we had an external PM doing a lot of the PM.
Right.
And
right.
So I basically was doing account management and technical lead on very hard problems or very problems that could impact the relationship in some way, right?
Yeah.
Then there have been other ones where Jacob and Josh were doing a bunch of work on it and I was sort of coming in and doing a day of work on it. Most of that was like pairing with one or both of them and then like meeting with the client. Right. And so that was actually like mostly a Jacob and Josh project with like a day of Daniel was kind of shoved in there because someone needed to do the PM and the account management.
Right. And what we ended up doing was actually moving Josh off of that over to something that I'm PMing because it was, I think we realized even though we hadn't named this thing yet, we realized that that was more efficient. That it's like, if Daniel already has to be like kind of tech leading this thing, mm-hmm. why do we also have Josh over here?
Mm-hmm.
And then if Josh is already going to go really be leading this other thing, like, why do we
from a tech angle,
here? We could just have me over there instead. So I think this is quite a bit more efficient and sensible.
Mm-hmm.
And I like naming the three different roles. It was just very funny to me when Lindsay was like, yeah, if you're an agency doing work for people, there's like clearly defined roles for this already.
And then, you know, I think there are bigger clients that require more than two people, right? So like, yes. We have our current, this one current client that's going to have some of you, some of me, and some of Josh on yes. it. And I think that's just appropriate for this client, right?
Yep.
And so there's going to be times where that needs to happen. But, and you know, ultimately like the goal is that we could all be on the same client, all four yeah. of us. Right. But anyway, I feel much less worried. There are other roles, that are like what I was saying today on baseball was that I was like a little like exasperated because, there's like this like whole mentorship pipeline thing, which is like another place pipeline. where I feel like a bottleneck, right? Where it's like, oh, well, like we have other funnels that like we could use to generate leads and some of them are performing, some of them aren't. But like really like our most consistent funnel has been this pipeline and it 100% requires random bits of my time
yes.
throughout the week.
It's a low dollar amount. It's a lot of context switching for you. But they often turn into clients.
Yeah. And like,
and so it's a complicated, and also that is like, you are the true bottleneck on that. Like,
yeah,
they want you. They don't uh-huh. want like somebody. They want
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Right. Yep. And so that is that's another place where I'm the bottleneck, right? So it's just one of those things where it's like, I feel like every corner I look around, there's another thing where I'm like, okay, I have to find a way to extract myself from being like the unique snowflake that solves this problem,
right.
you know, and like let this problem be more generalized and more distributable so that I'm not the only thing that solves it. And like, you know, my Twitter DMs is another thing where it's like, oh yeah, like things come in through my Twitter DMs, you know?
Yeah.
But like, that means it's not going into like a sales process or a CRM or something where like
right. that I'm just a bunch of people could handle like, it. Hey, have you checked in with that one recently? And you're like, oh, yeah. Let me send them an email.
Yeah. So anyway, these are all places where it's like, outside of my like regular like client days, there's these other things where I'm a bottleneck that kind of fall down if they don't get my attention. And when I'm fully booked, they don't get my attention. Yes. And that puts you in a position of having to like be responsible for knowing about them and
yeah.
keeping track of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all that.
Yeah. And I think it's all right. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to say about that. I think it's good. I don't have like a lot more to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I am glad, like I listened back to last week and like I think you last week especially you were very like a little burned out, a little like emotionally wrought about like we can't grow without my life becoming more insane. And mm-hmm. I'm already working like so hard and like how could we even possibly take on another client if I'm the bottleneck? And I think this is a good framework for like getting you out of that position.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that like if it's not painful enough, we won't make the changes. You know, like until the pain of making the changes is less than the pain of not making the changes, we will not make the changes. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, I think the last couple of weeks of just me being like, just really like at my limits of like what I was capable of getting done in a week, and like my level of exhaustion, has forced some things where it's like, oh, well, there's just certain things that I think we just have to say no to. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's certain types of things, but it's like there's a certain level of a certain type of thing that we just have to say no to. And like, mm-hmm. I think people who specifically want me for multiple days a week and aren't willing to deal with our guys might not be our client, you know?
Yeah. Seems so, reasonable anyway, to me.
That's something to deal with. Anyway, that's that topic. Let's let's talk about our money and our marriage.
You want to talk about money and marriage?
Money and marriage. Yeah,
so the several people went early on when I was considering Thunk, and I asked a lot of people for advice because that's a thing that I like to do. I was like, what do you think about this? And a lot of people were like, well, if you're going to go have a business partner, it's like getting married. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, obviously it's a lot easier to break up. You know, you're getting hitched in a way, and you need to go make a bunch of hard decisions together. Mm-hmm. And this also relates to like the thing that early on when I like tried to negotiate hard for 50%, like my friend of the show, Drew Bells, was like, why do you think you need that? Mm-hmm. He's like, other than like the money, like obviously it's like it's worth more, but like, do you think you need to have like governance to block Daniel's decisions? And I was like, not really. He's like, well, if that's your plan, like if you distrust Daniel such that you need to have governance to block his decisions, like why would you even start a business with him? I was like, mm-hmm. right. It's like that sounds like a serious trust issue. I was like, I don't have the trust issue. He's like, okay, well then consider whether or not you care about 50%. Like that was an interesting, I think mm-hmm. that's related, right? So it's like, we have a baseline of trust, a pretty strong baseline of trust. And now we have to make a bunch of financial decisions. So like that mm-hmm. goes to like hiring and firing, or like how much do we pay ourselves? And all of that has actually been very like comfortable. And I think we've been very aligned.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's what the thing that I didn't expect is that there's also this like day-to-day like budgeting and expense type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like if this is a marriage, I'm like kind of the stingy one, mm-hmm. where I watch my own personal budget very carefully, and like nothing makes me crazier than like some subscription that I'm not using that's just like sucking money out of my checking account. Mm-hmm. And so like I'm always like DMing you about like, what is this thing? Why are we paying for it? I don't want to pay for it anymore. Like, are we actually using it? Why did our Cloudflare just like triple, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
I will never notice that the Cloudflare tripled.
Yeah. And I always will. And so like, there's that dynamic, which is just like, which I think is fine.
I think it's good that someone is noticing that the Cloudflare tripled.
Yeah. But like you, or like at one point you were like, oh, hey, I just realized that there's like a bunch of like expenses that I have been on my personal card for the last like 12 months. And I only now realized that they're there. We need to move them over to Thunk. And also half of them we're not using anymore.
Yeah.
And like my brain exploded when you said that. I was like, how could you possibly not know that? Like, and it wasn't even like, you know, okay, it was like ended up being a total of like $4,000 or something, you know. It, mm-hmm. it wasn't like insane, but it was like, it wasn't even really about the money. It was more just like, how can you live like this? Like, how do you not know that those things are on your personal card?
Well, they were on, because this was my business, right? Like, at one point, it was just me and my freelance stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of these things are just like, I'm used to seeing my card get hit for Sentry or Bugsnag or DigitalOcean or something like that. And so it's just like, oh, yeah, that's just become normal. And I never, like, sat down and was like, okay, now that this has become Thunk, like, which of these charges do I need to remove? And, you know, like, I just never did that audit. So there was just a bunch of things.
So I think that part of it is, like, actually fine. It's mm-hmm. just, like, I am looking at everything like multiple times a week. And I just like, I send you a message every time there's something that I'm like, hey, wait a minute, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's fine. Does that feel fine to you? Like,
yeah.
Okay. The part where it gets weirder is the second part, which is like, we have uneven needs. Mm-hmm. And there's this pool of money, which is like our money. It's not like half my money and half your money.
Yeah, it's Thunk's money.
It's Thunk's money, but like ultimately that means it's our money.
Right.
And so then there's this, there like recently a thing came up with like healthcare where it was like, mm-hmm. I need healthcare and you don't because like you're on your wife's healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, it feels kind of weird if like Thunk just pays for my healthcare and you don't get equal benefit of that, you know?
Right.
And so then it was like, okay, I'll just kind of do that on my own. But then there's like other stuff that comes up, which is like, okay, we moved our phone bills over to Thunk, and like yours is twice as expensive as mine because my wife is on my family plan.
Right.
You know? And you were like, I'll just throw this on there. And I was sitting there and I was like, well, that feels kind of odd because then like you're getting twice as much benefit as I'm getting from this. And then like now I have an incentive, not exactly an incentive, but I'm sort of like more of kind of a recklessness about like, well, maybe I'll start paying for the like super expensive internet. You know, like I'm actually satisfied with my internet, but now that it's like Daniel got a little perk, maybe I get a little perk, you know, sure. And I'm like, I want to start spending more money. It's interesting, and like I don't think we want to get into a dynamic where we're like second guessing each other, or I don't know.
I think there are clear solutions to this problem.
Okay.
I think one is that we basically just like give ourselves a little discretionary budget.
Okay.
That's like, hey, we each get $500 a month to just like put into things that maybe the other person wouldn't choose to have be on the books, yeah. But like, sure. we're just gonna put them on the books.
We call it the home office budget.
Yeah, the home office stipend.
it's actually exactly what we did at Benty.
Yeah, so like maybe that's it. It's basically just like, hey, these are like work expenses.
Does it like, accumulate? If you don't use it,
no, certainly not. Or use it or lose it by the end of the year.
Use it or lose it by the end of the year. Okay.
I don't know. We'll have to renegotiate.
I haven't agreed to it, but I've taken it into consideration.
No, I'm still brainstorming out loud. So none of this is. I'm not signing anything. Okay. But like, okay, we give ourselves like sort of a home office stipend that we can like put into things that we wouldn't prefer to have. The problem comes when it's like, I don't know. They're like, okay, say one day I'm like, I'm going to see if I want to try out PHP Storm again. You know, like I'm never a PHP Storm guy. Every time I do it for a year, I stop doing it, but maybe I will, but it does cost like several hundred dollars. So I'm going to go spend that $700. And John's like, what's wrong with VS Code? And I'm like, nothing's wrong with VS Code, John, but it's like, I need to find out whether or not I'm more productive in this new build of PHP Storm. When I was freelancing, there was absolutely zero consideration about whether I was going to spend those $200. It was like, absolutely, I'm going to spend these $200, you know?
Well, and part of the problem is also, though, like, yeah, so you and I just have a very different thinking about that because I'm like, if I don't have a problem with VS Code, like personally, even if I was a freelancer, I would like never go spend that money. I'm like, if I don't have a problem to solve, like I'm not buying a new notes app. I'm not getting a new code editor. I'm not getting whatever.
I'm an optimizer. You're a satisficer.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that's like one thing. But then the other part of it, I guess, is that I also don't know. So you have an instinct, which is like when you wanted to make that funny, like AI generated episode of you and Caleb, you're just like, oh, that's funny. Like swipe, like let's pay for it and do it. That's a good idea.
$5. Yes.
Yeah. But then like then I don't know, like, when we get charged the second time on the subscription, I'm like, did Daniel just forget about this? Mm-hmm. Or is this, or am I being annoying here?
You're not being annoying. I like you doing it.
Okay. So, cause that's the thing is like if the second time you get charged for PHP Storm or whatever, mm-hmm. That like, I'm sitting there going like, is this a flight of fancy he had a month ago? Or yes. Is this like, are we like PHP Storm guys now? Yeah, and like, yeah, yeah. I just need to like accept this as a business expense.
Right. Yeah. I don't have a great solution for that. That doesn't involve, me checking a spreadsheet every month, which is so outside of my, normal way of doing things that would require a drastic reorganization of my life. Like, you are a, put something on the calendar every week to check a spreadsheet and see if we're, yeah, still using a subscription, yeah, guy. I am not that guy. Okay. I think this is actually something I was trying to like work this out a little bit with Charlotte when I was talking to her, like a week or two ago. And I was like, different people think about getting rich in different ways. Right.
Okay.
And the only way that I imagine getting rich is by just increasing and increasing and increasing how much money I make.
Uh huh.
There are people who are like, I'm going to make $70,000 and save 80% of it starting at the age of 20.
Sure.
And I'll be a millionaire by 35.
And to be clear, I am not that guy.
No, no, I know. I'm painting the two extremes, right? I'm painting the two extremes. There's those people, and then there's people who are like, I just simply have to double my income every year until it's the number I want it to be, right? I'm much more the second. I'm just like, the only way to get rich is by increasing your income. You know?
This could be a whole topic, and I just want to be clear, I'm not like really budget guy. I'm certainly not like retire early, fire guy.
Uh-huh.
But I do think from personal experience and from watching other people that if you are on the path of like, oh, I just have to keep on making more money,
mm-hmm.
that money will find a way to disappear.
Yes, sure.
And like you will, it's just so easy to like subconsciously or consciously go, well, I make more than I used to go. So like, mm-hmm. now I'm going to eat out twice as often and just buy PHP Storm on a flight of fancy or whatever.
Sure.
And then all, yep, of a sudden it's like, huh, that's weird. My bottom line has not increased, even though my top line keeps on increasing. You know?
Yes. And I recognize this in myself, and this is why I think it's good that we're
sure
two parts of a whole here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because like someone's gotta be the like, do we really need to buy this guy? And someone's gotta be the I already bought it guy.
Sure. I do think long term this, if you just say like, well, that's our dynamic and John will save me,
it's no.
It will lead to resentment. I promise you that.
Fair. That's a fair thing to say. Yeah, no, I do sort of like think of you as the angel on my shoulder in some interesting moments. I'm like,
and some of us,
do I want to get a fucking DM about this next week? No.
Sometimes the angel on your shoulder wants to just like take a week to not be an angel, you know?
Right. Well, no, but yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, is there another, what is the solution to this besides just like we both sort of think of the other more and then like sort of gradually improve and try not to hurt each other?
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel, this is not a, to be clear, this is not a big source of pain for me today. I don't think that this is like super bad.
No, but it's like it's a sand in our oyster.
And I'm confessing to you that like, mm-hmm. this unchecked, this will be a source of resentment for me.
Yes.
And I can give an example if you want.
Mm-hmm.
The one that made me write this down as a topic,
mm-hmm.
was, well, in general, Laracon India was terribly expensive.
Yes.
And then as part of that, Charlotte went with you.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of a consequence of Charlotte going with you, like
That oh, was it was like, the Max thing.
It was like two cars parked long term at the Asheville airport, and also like
Charlotte parked somewhere else.
Okay, and then it was like 10 days of like Max at
Max at a boarding
doggy
place.
Daycare. Yeah.
Yes.
And so then I was like, huh, like I that was the first one where I was like, I think I'm writing this down as a topic.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like this is where it becomes like, I don't know if I want to. This is where it's like I'm having to struggle with myself to not be a guy who can justify it really well, right? Because it's like, sure. Like if this was a job and I was having to justify an expense to my employer, this mm-hmm. is a completely justifiable expense, because it's like, well, if an employee who didn't have a wife was taking a trip and had a dog, that dog would need to be cared for, right? And so the fact that my wife is not available to care for this dog isn't the company's concern, right? Mm-hmm. And like, if you had a dog and were taking a trip and didn't have someone who lived at your house with your dog to take care of it, like, if you want me to go on the trip, that's a pretty serious out-of-pocket expense that I'm going to be incurring in order to be able to go on this trip for work, right?
Yeah.
In the same way that I would expect the company to pay for my car being parked at the airport or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is just mm-hmm. one of the things that has to be covered for me to go on this trip. That being said, it's like, well, this is an expense that only I will have. So it's like, it's not something where it's like, okay, well, like we do need to like discuss like what's reasonable here.
Yeah.
The problem, and here's the real rub, is that like there's just times where I'm just like, does it make, like, do I want to pay taxes on this money? Like, there's times where it's like, I don't even care if you take out the same amount of money and put it in your pocket, right? Mm. Like, I don't care. I just don't want to pay taxes on this $600, yeah. You know?
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, that's another, I mean, if we're talking about solutions, like, that is one. It's like, if there's a point at which, like, it's like, I need something that's, like, out of the ordinary, that there's not a, like, proportional thing that you need.
Yeah.
Just take the money out. That is a solution, which is, like, feels kind of funny.
Right. I mean, obviously there's, like, a point at which, like, it becomes unprofitable to do that, right? Where it's, like...
Yeah, because it's, like, the doggy daycare is now not $800, it's $1,600.
Well, and that's if we're doing it 50-50, right? If we're doing it proportionally to ownership.
Right, right, right.
Then it's, like, yeah, oh, well, your $500 a month healthcare is actually $1,500. Right. Right? And it gets even crazier, right?
Right.
So anyway, that's like a whole, there are solutions there.
They all, that it, feels like pretty over-engineered.
Yeah. Where it's like, oh, John wants healthcare, so I just like put $1,000 in my pocket every month.
I mean, it actually wouldn't be like that hard to calculate, because it's like, we know what the ownership is every month. What it would mean was like,
it would be a new spreadsheet though. And I know you love that.
It'd be, yeah, I started, that's what I started thinking about, how I would design the spreadsheet, and I was like, well, actually it could be pretty fun, I don't know. I don't really feel that strongly about it today, because also like I don't mm-hmm. India was a anomalous day week
that I'm not gonna do again,
that we're not doing again. So maybe it's like, maybe it's not that big of a problem.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think the bigger thing that I learned from India is, like, in all sorts of ways, I have to, like, communicate a lot about me traveling solo to a lot of different people.
Yeah, that's for
sure. You
know?
And that's something that, like, I just didn't really do. And so it's just like, hey, if you're going to travel for a week, you have to have, like, a lot of conversations about a lot of different things with a lot of different people before you do that. And yeah. that's one of those is like, what am I paying for with the company? One of those is like, what, you know, like, what meetings am I not going to make and who's going to cover them? You know, whatever. Like, I just kind of like stepped out and was like, I'm going to go to India and pay for anything that comes up and you guys cover whatever.
Yeah. And
I think that's the type of thing that like leads to resentment, is just like putting a lot of people in a weird position there. So anyway, that's...
I did have resentment while you were gone. That's true. And it was the explicit cost was really high, but then the implicit cost was also, I mean, like, you were not earning while you were gone.
Yeah.
And then like all of us worked a little harder to make it work. And so,
mm-hmm.
and then when I realized it was like, yeah, he's in India for 5 days, but there's also like a few days of like travel and recovery on either mm-hmm. side of it. Like while you were gone, like I had a couple bad days where I was yeah. like, yeah, I'm a little bit annoyed right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little bit
fair.
Annoyed. Yeah,
I think that's fair. Also, I think the only way to make this fair is for you to submit your talk to Lyric on Australia. You know, there's a few days left.
You're assuming. Oh, really? Maybe I should. I mean, I'll put it in. Whatever. Doesn't cost anything to put it in.
Yeah.
The
don't cost nothing.
Yeah, that's right. You're assuming that I want to get on another transcontinental flight.
Yeah, and, yeah.
I did a lot of those. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of those for several years, and I think there's a certain number of times that a man can fly over the Pacific Ocean, and I cashed in on a lot of those in a 4-year period.
I was basically born flying over the Pacific Ocean. I don't know. That's the only place I'm comfortable. I've never been as comfortable as I am doing like a downward dog in the back of a 767.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, you know, I'll submit it.
Cool. We should. A major milestone has occurred.
Okay.
Which is that we have completed our savings goal.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
We moved the last $16,000 into savings.
Yeah.
And so we now have $100,000. In savings that earns like $200 in interest often.
Yeah, it's so great. That's the thing about those high interest savings accounts is you just look in there and you're like,
$200.
Oh, right. It's
just like, $200.
And now it'd be like closer to like 250 just like every yeah. month. It's just like spinning off $250. It's so great.
Oh yeah. I love it. Yeah. So that rules.
So now we're like in a pretty comfortable place in our checking and our savings account.
Right, so we've got a number in our checking account and a number in our savings account, and we've like crossed the threshold that we had initially decided was like distribution time, right? Yeah. It was like we basically drew the line because it was a nice number at 100K. We said once we have 100K, we'll do distributions.
Yeah.
Then at some point we changed that to once we have 100K. Plus, like, whatever. The equation for what's supposed to be in our checking account is still nebulous to me.
Well, it's basically like 50 grand goes out the door every month.
Right.
Between us paying ourselves benefits, Jacob and Josh, all of our various software subscriptions,
and dogs and whatever.
Dogs, paying for lawyers, paying for whatever. It's around there. It's uh-huh. actually probably a little higher, but I just as a personal principle,
mm-hmm.
like if with my own checking account, I'm like, there always needs to be. I personally spend $5,000 a month. That's like what I do pretty uh-huh. literally. It's often a little below that, but it's around there. I spend
sure.
And so I'm like, there needs to just be $5,000 in my checking account, or I'm kidding myself.
Okay.
And so like that's how I live. I'm like mm-hmm. I can't, if I suddenly have $1,000 in my checking account, then like I'm kidding myself. I'm budgeting for something that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to treat this the same way where it's like we should just like have 50 grand in the checking account.
Sure.
And part of that is because like sometimes we get paid significantly after we pay people.
Yes.
And so anyway, so that was like we basically have like next at any given time we have 30 days in our checking account, and at any given time we have an additional 60 days sitting in a high interest savings account. I think that's a sane place to live. So then if suddenly we have more than that, we start taking things home.
I think that's a sane place to live. I also think it's not what we originally agreed on.
Okay. Right?
Which is, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but I don't think we should do it without deciding we're doing it. You know?
Okay. What do you think we originally agreed on? I thought that it was 3 months.
I thought it was... We decided it was $100,000 at some point.
Oh, just having a total of $100,000. But yeah. I think that was because our monthly number was substantially lower.
Sure. Okay. That's reasonable.
The point of the 100 to me was 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm misremembering that or misunderstanding that, I'm totally happy to walk that back.
Well,
but
that
was the point in my head.
I don't want to like litigate it now, right?
Yeah.
But like now there's like another thing. There's like another layer to this, which is like taxes and the accountant and the unknown date when the accountant will tell us what our tax situation is, right?
Yeah.
Because we are going to give the IRS some money, right?
Yes.
And we're not exactly sure how much. We've never done this before.
Right.
We have the money to pay them, but it's... I don't
we
know how
no
much
of
that is.
We have no idea if we're about to get an email that says like, no, you don't understand. Since it's an S Corp, you just handle that personally. You owe them nothing. Or if we're going to get an email that says... You owe the IRS $50,000. I have, like, it could be either of those things or anything in between, and I truly have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. And so that is, like, an overlay on top of this. And I don't necessarily want to not take distributions. Like, theoretically, we took a... What's it called? A deferral. We deferred our taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Or our accountant deferred our taxes.
Got an extension.
Got an extension, which I believe makes our new submission date like the end of October.
Right.
So if...
Yeah. We're not going to wait until then. Right.
Right. If our accountant like doesn't have our taxes in a month, like...
We're not just
going to
sit on this money.
Yeah. I don't want to just like sit here and not take distributions. Right. And so I'm a little concerned about this whole structure right now. Is like there's a lot of money. We just
whole,
did like
which whole structure?
Just like I don't know. Like I'm like, what does I feel very nervous not knowing how much we owe in taxes.
Yes.
At this point,
that's a problem we can solve, and I will send an email right after this.
But yeah, I don't know. I would love to just like cross the threshold into like we have entered distributions, and like we know on a monthly basis like, hey, it's a small distribution this month, it's a big distribution this month, whatever.
Sure.
But like we've like entered that rhythm.
Yes.
Partly just because like, especially like last week, I was just like, I'm so fucking tired and we have all this money and I would love for some of it to just enter my bank account so I can feel good about how tired I am. You know?
The day is coming because we are at the number. Well, there's a couple parts.
Yeah.
One is just, yes, we should have more clear guidance from our CPA. She told me she was going to email me last week and didn't. And so I'm going to send her a little bit of a nudge.
This has been my experience with CPAs.
Yeah.
They just don't email you.
That's a solvable problem, right? That's
well,
fine.
You'd think.
Yeah. And even just to get a glimpse of, like, I might even send her that email of, like, I have no idea if we need to have zero or $50,000 set aside. Can you just, like, can you help me understand what I'm looking at?
Yeah.
There is another part of this also, which is part of why I've been kind of conservative, is, like, we also need to reimburse you for all of those expenses last year that I made reference to earlier.
Most of them have been reimbursed.
But also we're adding in, like, cell
phone internet, those two
and
don't...
paying mine, so
yeah,
like
yeah.
there's
probably
some
like
chunk of money,
let's call it $5,000
out. Yeah, I think it might be a little more, but yeah. And then that's like a thing, that's not that much money, so it's fine. But the more important part to me, I mean, that's really important, and we're going to solve that. That's like a tactical thing with our lawyer. The more, I guess, just like partner-oriented thing that's important to me right now is, it sounds like you don't feel good about what we're doing with cash. And I'd like for us to both feel good about it.
It's not that I don't feel good about what we're doing with cash. It's that I feel like I'm unclear how we got to what we're doing with cash, right? And it doesn't, I don't, and maybe I'm misremembering. It could totally be that I'm misremembering. But okay. It just feels like I felt like we kind of crossed the threshold a while ago, and I could tell that you didn't think that we had crossed the threshold. And I was like, I'm not going to fight about this right now.
Okay. Well, I don't feel like I need to fight. I'm like, I just want to do something that feels good to both of us.
Yeah. What would feel good to you?
3 months.
3 months. So this is like a weird thing, because like 3 months of what?
Of what we spend monthly.
We don't spend the same thing every month.
Sure. For several months in a row, it was closer to 60.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started, it was close to
30. Yeah.
And so that's where 100 came from in my mind. Mm-hmm. Was we about 30 goes out the door, let's have 100 set aside. And then at some point we grew, brought on more subcontractors, took on more stuff, started paying for more doggy daycares, and our number got up towards 60.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, I think, gone down a bit. I can easily go into QuickBooks and get like a running average and show it. But I think that's all I really care about. It's like, I mean, I would be fine to say like, let's say like some sort of blended average of our last few months, you know, like what, mm-hmm. what goes out the door. And I'm okay with it being less. But that's like what the number has been in my head. And I'm not like planting a flag in the ground and saying like, I'm going to fight to the death over this. That's just what it was in my head. And so if we want it to be something else, I'm like, I'm all ears.
I'm cool at like 75 in savings, 50 in checking or whatever, you know?
Okay.
But I honestly like that we have, to me, really realistically, I'm kind of at like, we should have a pay period in checking and 100 grand in savings. That feels like a good thing to me.
That's because you are not watching the bank accounts.
Maybe. Maybe that's fair.
Because the thing is, sometimes we just like buy tickets to Laricon and also do payroll, and Jacob and Josh each invoice us, and suddenly the, you know, the checking account goes from like 55,000 to like 20,000, you know, and you're like, oh, hold on.
Sure.
And then like you look at when people are paying their invoices and someone's just like, oh, I'm going to be late on this one. You're like, mm-hmm. okay, well, the number's going to get down. I don't know. So those swings, I want to be able to like take those swings without really thinking twice about them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I mean, like, you know, it's kind of awkward to negotiate this, because it's like taking more distributions earlier also benefits me financially, right? Mm-hmm. And so like I'm incentivized personally to say like, let's take more distributions earlier. Like if we have to dip into the savings, we have to dip into the savings, who cares, right? Yes. And you're incentivized to say, let's take them as slowly as we can, right? Yes. However, I also think that our temperaments as founders line up along those lines.
Yes, also. Where I'm just like, I want to know that I'm safe for as long as possible.
Right. And so it's like, it's awkward to negotiate this, because it's like, there's like my personal incentives and my taste as how I feel like we can run the business, you know, mm-hmm. are both like, we should, why are we doing this? Why are we saving all this money that we're never going to touch? You know?
Well, easy to say while everything is flush.
Yeah. No, I know. But yeah, I don't know. I think this is like the place that we're like, this is where I want to like get to a point where we're just doing this so that it's not something we have to like figure out, you know?
Yeah. Well, where does that put us? I mean, there's not much to do other than just to pick a number, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Let's like look at our hard expenses, get
a number. No, I mean, I think it's reasonable to say. It's like
it's basically like 35. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, 35 is like everyone in the company just fired, or every client just fired us.
Mm-hmm. So let's keep the 50 in checking, right? Or let's, I don't know.
It can be a little lower. I don't know. I mean, I don't feel that.
There is something really nice about having $100,000 in that savings account, though. Like, yeah, that number just feels really nice.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's an OKR, so it should stay there.
That's right. That's right.
Wouldn't want to move our OKR percentage down.
But distributions are also in our OKRs. So
that's true.
We haven't done them yet. So, if the balance of like, I guess if we get into a cash crunch, we just try to pull it out of savings.
Right. Like we have the savings account, right?
Yeah. So the number that was in my head this whole time was like 150. Mm-hmm. 50 in checking, 100 in savings. You want to keep 100 in savings and then what?
What if we take it down to 35 in, how does that feel to you, taking it down to 35 in checking?
I think it can work.
Remember when that bank account had $3,000 in it?
Do I?
Dude. That was a minute, huh?
We were, this is so funny. We had this, one of the partners at Sovereigns used to always talk about driving fast and taking chances.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like, just because he was like, this is like part of what's fun about being an entrepreneur is like you and your business partners just like driving fast, taking chances.
Yeah.
He would always say to this really like glowing light. Uh-huh. And like one time we got a call from one of the startups that was like, hey, wanted to like chat with you about, maybe like a little cash infusion. We could just use a little loan before our next fundraising. It was like really casual. And he got on the phone with him and he was like, yeah, we have like $8,000 in the bank account. And he was like, it's like, dude, when I said driving fast and taking chances, this is not what I was talking about.
I love it, dude. I love it. Yeah, man. I don't know. I feel like we're so healthy right this second that like it would feel like a shame to not like give ourselves a little attaboy.
Totally. And I just so you hear from me, like I'm committed to it too. Like it was not in your best interest to increase our salaries and you did.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I want to do it too. And I'm still committed to also like the OKR we set of like take home distributions. Mm-hmm. So like I feel really good about it. I just want to feel good about the number. Honestly, the thing about the checking account, I mean, having 100,000 in the savings account is like fun and everything, but like, I would rather have that number be lower just because the swings in the checking account make me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really care. So then it sounds like the compromise is instead of 150 total, it's like 125 or 135 or something like that. That's fine to me.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. It's like somewhere around there.
Okay.
I also kind of, I was listening to this My First Million podcast that is my only hustle bro content that I consume. And they were just kind of talking about this accounting practice that they both run at all of their startups, which is keep the checking account as small as possible and move every dollar you can out of the checking account because it makes you notice if you add anything, right? And basically it's like, You I know this is like, I'm basically like signing you up for work by saying that. Like when I say this, you're hearing me say like, oh yeah, I want John to just take all of this pain, which is not what I'm implying. But like, it is an attractive idea. The idea that like, look, you have a savings account, but like your checking account shouldn't also be your savings, right?
sure. But, like, sometimes we, like, suddenly have to pay $30,000.
Yes. That is, I mean, in theory, yes.
In reality, yes.
when have we had to suddenly pay $30,000?
When we have, like, payroll and Jacob With and Josh.
Payroll's not sudden. Payroll's predictable. It's the same time.
Right, but if the money is not coming in at the same time, like, if people are not paying their invoices on time, or, like, there's just, like, a little bit of a mismatch there, or, mm-hmm. like, a big client goes away, and we didn't really think about how that was going to affect.
Right, so and then, I think the argument from this, like, accounting practice that they're talking about is basically, like, you have to move the money out of savings then, and that anytime you've had to move money out of savings, it's because something went incredibly wrong that you should fix, right? Which is like, oh, you had more expenses than you earned.
Yeah,
like,
that during definitely, a time period. You are like, correct that does feel like you are just shifting anxiety onto me.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily.
Fair. Okay. Then I'm
like, what problem are you trying to solve? Like, because we're solving the big problem of, like, getting distributions for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want. We're doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what other problem are you trying to solve?
I'm not sure. It's the problem of having $100,000 in savings and liking that.
Oh, okay.
it's that I want that money to stay in savings, and I don't want to decrease the number in the savings account, but you don't want to decrease the number in the checking account, but I do want to decrease the overall number.
Okay, well, that's like, I mean, the that's, amount of
it's
like
purely aesthetic.
Yeah, that okay, then it's, I'm done. It's then I'm done talking cool. about this. I don't give a shit. Let's go do some work.
All right, cool. This has been a great podcast. I have no idea how much of this is going out.
I would cut a tiny bit out, but I think the just like uncomfortable,
I think the whole
hand wringing is good.
No, I think so too. Like, this is the real build in public shit. It's the like,
yeah.
All right, let's negotiate in real time. Getting money.
Sounds good.
Sounds fun. All right, listener, you really got a backstage pass here.